This is Gardening Related, and I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And I'm Elizabeth in New York.
Hey, girl.
Hey, hey.
So hot there, huh?
It is night. Well, it was 70 degrees today, but.
Oh, that's nice.
This is after two 95 degree days in a row.
No.
Uh-huh. And two 95 degree days last week. Brutal. Oh.
Brutal is right. Did you get all your veggies planted?
I did. I did a ton of planting last.
They love that 95 degree weather.
Oh my God. My bean leaves are huge. They're the size of my hand now. I'm so proud of them.
That's because they've gotten such good food.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I have loaded them up with all kinds of good food.
You can always
Everything is just shooting up. It's great. And for our own mental sanity, we went out last weekend and got ourselves a adult kiddie pool.
Get out.
Best $50 I have ever spent at Target.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So
excellent.
We would garden and then dunk our heads in the adult kiddie pool.
I'm liking that.
Garden a little bit and, you know, step in it. Oh, so good. You fill it up at 11 a.m. It was bath water by 3 p.m.
No.
Yeah, crazy.
Bath water? No.
Crazy hot. Yeah.
Do you have an ice maker?
No. No.
Okay. Well, you have an ice. You have something in your refrigerator that makes ice, right?
Well, our fridge ice maker is broken, but our downstairs neighbors have a working fridge ice maker.
Good.
So...
We
hit them up for ice. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Hey, bring us ice.
Well, this is a little bit past the time of year when overwhelm is hit. Usually overwhelm hits around the end of March, the beginning of April. We've had such a cold spring here that our overwhelm is hitting sort of now. It's also the start for us this year. It's very late for allergy season. Our pollen count is suddenly through the roof. It hasn't been all spring, but right now it's through the roof. So I wanted to talk about overwhelm for a minute because it's such a debilitating thing for gardeners. Because you look out and you're ready to garden and it's going to be gorgeous, and suddenly it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
While you weren't looking,
everything
came up and everything needs attention.
And the weeds seem so well rooted right now after this heat spurt. Oh my gosh, I have a tree growing in a flower bed and it's like, it's right in the way of the chicken coop too. And
What kind of a tree is it? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'll have to send you pictures. I have no clue.
Do you want the tree?
I don't think so. It's just going to create more shade.
That's right. So here's the thing. When you have something like that, you need to sharpen your shovel.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Sharpen it. And then clean it off, sharpen it, get it really ready to go.
Yeah.
And then get in there with that sharp shovel and some muscle.
Yeah.
And get that tree and as much of the roots as you can out of it.
Yep. Yep.
If the root is attached to another tree, which oftentimes they are, try to find that basal root and pull it up as much as you can and cut it off close to the original tree, to its parent tree.
Yeah.
Overwhelm, it has done me in for years.
Yeah.
Because I've been in constant overwhelm for all the growing season. I started to hate summer because I was always in overwhelm.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
And there are tricks to it. One is you make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the disasters you have to pass in order to get to the planned place where you're going to work for that day, you stick with it unless, of course, your hose is overflowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your cat is dying. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. It's like that Punnett square, isn't it? which this never quite worked for me, at least in the business sense. I was introduced to this in the business world by a boss who terrified me. So I don't think I ever fully like got the grasp of it the way I should have.
I can't imagine somebody terrifying you. No. I can't imagine them being that rude to you. Anyway.
No. And she wasn't. But, you know, she just...
She was terrifying.
A little scary. Just very, so professional. It was terrifying.
Uh-huh.
So it's the Punnett Square. It's daily tasks, things that are top of mind, things that can be forgotten, and then urgent fires that need to be put out.
Yes. So that's kind of it. And all of those things shouldn't take all day. Mm-hmm. So... That's a shouldn't. It depends on the size of your garden. You know, if you've got something that's going to take all day and you have four more fires in the thing, you need to weigh your plans then. Mm-hmm. For example, weeds. Let's go to weeds for just a second. Yeah. I used to wear overalls all the time. And when I saw a seed head of a weed that was getting ready to spew its seeds all over the place, a dandelion head or just whatever it was, I would, on my way to whatever I was doing, I would grab a hold of the dandelion head. I did this yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I would pluck it off with my closed fist, you know, pluck off the dandelion and stick it in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always... pull the seeds out of your out of your pocket, the dandelions, whatever weed seeds there are. You can always pull them off and stick them in the garbage in your house, safe and sound, later.
Yes. Yep.
if you come out and you were planning on planting something, basil, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you have a field of dandelion heads. You have to make a judgment call then. And here's what I do. I say, okay, it might take me 4 days to get all the dandelion heads off. Mm-hmm. And I still don't have the beans in.
Yeah.
If I have the beans in, then I can spend all my time doing the dandelions. Mm-hmm. So I get the beans in first because then they'll be growing. It's like doing two things at once. They're going to be growing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
It's like putting your wash in and then go dust and vacuum.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're doing two things at once.
Yep.
And then I start on the dandelion things. And there's a secret to weeding. There's several secrets to weeding. One is you have to be comfortable. Mm. Otherwise, you'll only do one or two. So if you're on your hands and knees going through the dandelions, that's great as long as you've got something for your knees that will comfort and protect them, mm-hmm. and your hands are in gloves and they're okay.
Yeah.
And you have a dandelion pot. But if you're crouching here and then crouching there and then crouching there and you have to get up and down and up and down, you will not get all the dandelion heads. You
that's
just
a
won't.
Workout. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. So my answer to that is two things. One is you always have some place to put the dandelion heads if you don't have a pocket. Mm-hmm. And two, you have a wheelie. A wheelie, they make these little, I don't know what you call them, stools with wheels on them. Mm-hmm. That you can wheel around. You kind of sit on them and they're low.
I've seen them. Yes. And they look like very comfortable seats.
Yes.
You know, they're
yes.
kind of bike seats plus, you know.
Yes. Or they can be, and they can be even lower, of all plastic with a lid that lifts.
Yeah.
And little tiny ones. The lower you can get on them, the better.
Yes.
And I have several wheelies so that I am never without one in the back or the front or the side or whatever. I can't recommend them enough. They are worth their price in gold for your back.
That makes sense. That
even
makes sense.
As a 20-something-year-old that you are, and I really hate you for that, you're going to need that sooner or mm-hmm. later. You're going to need a wheelie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm already feeling it on my knees. I mean,
yeah.
On Saturday, we put in a flower garden in the front of our house. So we have...
I need pictures, girl.
Well, it doesn't look like much now, but we... Well, okay. Confession time.
Okay.
I got the lilies, dahlias, and peonies in the front.
Good. That'll be beautiful.
On Saturday.
That's okay. I don't have some of my dahlias in. I don't have my lilies in.
So I'm really excited. We'll see.
Good. It'll be gorgeous.
Yeah. I put some little tiny dahlias on top and then that were potted and already ready to go.
Good.
I think they're dahlias.
Good.
Yeah, they're dahlias. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, they're dahlias. And then good. I also sprinkled some Alyssum seeds on top. Some
nice
pink and white.
Nice.
And I also scattered some dill seeds. And we planted thick. We planted very thick.
Good.
Yes.
Proud of you.
We have like.
Make sure you keep those seeds moist in this heat.
Oh, yes. I have been. Yep.
Good, good, good.
We have like a 6-foot by 4-foot plot. And it's twofold because we live kind of on a little bit of a high traffic area.
Yeah.
And people tend to litter. Which is shocking to me that people are still in this day and age littering, throwing garbage out their window.
Unbelievable.
So I know, right? So we were talking and my one neighbor goes, well, you know, what if we just stick a sign out there, like something rude, and then they won't, you know, like, I think if we stick a rude sign in our front yard, people will throw more garbage at us.
I agree.
But if we plant flowers, maybe they will respect the space, see that it's beautiful, and wait until the next couple houses down. Or just hold the garbage in their lap like a normal, have a trash bag in your car.
Unbelievable.
If there are any listeners out there who litter, you need to go outside now. Pause the podcast, put it on your headphones or whatever. Go outside now and pick up at least 10 pieces of trash from the side of the road. Never do it again.
Never do it again. Well, because, you know, it's like you wouldn't ask somebody to put trash into your living room.
No.
And your yard is part of your living area.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's really good advice. I like the idea of flowers maybe hopefully canceling out bad habits.
I hope so. I'll keep you posted.
Too.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I wanted to do with this overwhelm business is that it's oftentimes you see 14 different problems all at once and you don't know what to do first. Mm-hmm. And so I try to get something healthy planted first so that it's still growing and then start tackling problems. And if you're organized and you've got a bucket full of tools, so you don't have to run in and get your clippers or run in and get your Clorox wipes or run in and get your bug spray or run in and get your shovel. If you've got all that sort of with you in a bucket.
Yeah.
That. You're going to be much more likely to just be able to have the confidence to tackle the problems.
Absolutely. Oh, the running. And this is such great life advice, too.
Yeah, it is.
For just everything.
Yeah.
You know, because you start something and you realize you don't have everything that you need, or getting distracted by the little tiny things where, I meant to do that last week.
Yep.
The disorganized brain.
Yes. So I want to talk about organization here for a minute because
Please.
You think with gardening, it's really not that important. You just kind of throw your tools in. You should have a bucket of tools with everything that you need in one hand go. Your hand
Brilliant.
Tools, your spade, your weeder, your clippers, your sharpener. I also would have a neem spray in there, a bug spray in there. I would have a maybe just a soap and water spray for aphids.
Yeah. Yeah.
in there. I would have, there was a couple of other, oh, my Clorox wipes for the sick plants. If once you cut a sick plant, mm-hmm. you can't cut anything else with that pruner until you've cleaned it.
Right. So this is maybe like a 5-gallon bucket because you need the neem spray, the Clorox, the soap and water.
This is a big bucket.
Your tools.
Right.
A kneeling pad or some sort of
Or your wheelie.
Thing. Wheelie.
Yeah. You got your bucket in one hand and mm-hmm. your wheelie and your shovel under your arm because you're going to need a shovel for some things. And what that does is save you massive amounts of time, not just running back and forth to your tool shed or your garage or whatever, but all of the distractions that come on the way back and to and from. Mm-hmm. But it also stops you from answering the phone because you're in the house anyway, or or your girlfriend calls and invites you to lunch and you've been out in the garden and you're hot and you'd rather do that. And you actually get things done.
Yes.
And then you call up your girlfriend after that and say, let's go for a drink.
I love it. I love it. Yes. And
so you get the right tools in there. So let's say that you have a field full of dandelions and they're all starting to seed up. You get out there in with a sack, not a plastic bag, a paper bag that can stay open. It can open itself and stay open, and you start wheeling yourself around there and picking off all of the heads.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
And put them in there. And if there's a windy day, you put them down in the bottom and throw a little wet soil on them.
Oh, that's smart. Yes.
So they don't go flying out of the bag. And you keep doing that and keep doing that. And then you throw that in the trash. That bag goes not in your compost. It goes in the trash.
So it doesn't because seed.
So it doesn't reseed, and you don't know how hot your compost is going to get this year. If you know that you have a roaring compost, great, throw it in the roaring compost. The bag will disintegrate and become your compost too.
Yeah. But now, controversial opinion.
Yes.
I like dandelions.
I know you do. I know you do.
They're
but you might
entirely edible.
They are.
They're very nutritious. They have tons of vitamins and minerals.
Yes.
They feed the bees early.
Yes.
And they're, you know, I don't think they're ugly.
No, they're not ugly if you like yellow flowers.
Oh, yes. That's right.
That's right. However, do you want more?
So this is a whole nother conversation for maybe a different podcast or another day. But I hate grass. And I cannot wait to rip all of my grass up and replace it with creeping thyme and clover.
Yep.
And I actually spread my dandelion seeds.
Okay, fine. So you are, that's great.
And we can be opposite gardeners.
That's right. Well, you're going to have a lot of people that are opposite gardeners from you. And you're the exception to the rule. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Everybody has their own style of gardening. Everybody. Mm-hmm. In this great big fancy garden I talk about in England called Great Dixter, they have a meadow where they just let wildflowers grow.
Yes, yes.
And it serves all kinds of wonderful native insects, beneficials that they know that the country is losing.
Yes.
And that's why they have this big old meadow. It's the biggest part of the garden is the meadow.
Yeah.
So, my dear, you have lots of company in dandelions.
And one thing that I'm actually doing, it's May right now, and we are not mowing about a third of our lawn. We're doing no mow May. With not all of it, but, you know, a decent amount.
Some of it.
And I have some great stinging nettle growing.
Good.
It's how we found our apple tree. We have some phlox. I've also pulled a ton of dead nettle up. Well, not pulled it up, but I've collected a bunch of it. It's this pretty little purple flower. Oh my God. Our lawn was so gorgeous because we have this giant swath of dead nettle and these little tiny purple flowers and then the yellow dandelions sprinkled in between it. And it was just a sea of purple with yellow little islands. It was gorgeous.
I bet it was gorgeous. And I bet all the bees native, were happy and healthy.
Such happy bees. Such healthy bees. And that's what I want for my lawn.
You can have it. And good for you. And good for you. And there's a lot of people that would like that. You have you have an affinity for the natives.
I do. Yes.
Native flowers. That's great.
Yes.
Good for you, honey. That's wonderful. And for the people that don't like dandelions, do not, and I repeat this, do not try to rip them up with your hands, no matter how wet the thing is. Mm-hmm. Please use a weeder. Please use the right tools. I have, I had so many weeds in my gardens that were not long tapered roots, but I would take them up with my fingers instead of a weeder. And it made my hands almost completely useless. I went to the doctor and it was like, what's wrong with my hands? And they were like, you've overworked them.
Wow.
So right tool for the right job.
Well, you have some of the best weeders. I mean, that was a whole new world, gardening with you and seeing the weeders that you have. Well, there's some intense looking hooks and then stabby stabs and forky forks, all kinds of things.
I call them I started with a screwdriver when I didn't know. I'd never seen a weeder. I started with a flathead screwdriver.
Yeah.
A long one for stuff. But after a while, I started looking around the garden centers and they have these weeders and you think, oh, I'll just use my deadhead screwdriver until it breaks. There are all kinds of weeders and I highly recommend one that has that half circle on it so that you can leverage it so that you're not using all of your hand strength to try to pull the weed out with just your strength of your arm, that you leverage it with this, this half moon piece of metal
on the back of it, so it's like a long screwdriver and then it has like a half moon kind of attached to it.
And in the spring, in the early spring, that half moon serves as a scraper weeder for little baby weeds. So suddenly your weeder is not just for one long dandelion root. For in the spring, when you've got these itty bitty babies and you've got swaths of little bitty baby weeds, you can just scrape along with that half moon piece and bingo, you've got a 2-in-1 weeder.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I think the one that you got me is serrated on the half moon.
Yes.
So you can hold
it. Cut through things. Yes.
Yes.
And also if you have a fork at the end of the screwdriver part, that's really handy.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly the one that you got me for Christmas. So it's perfect.
And in the scheme of things, when you think about it's going to cost you a little bit of money to buy a weeder, maybe 10, 15 bucks. Believe me, it will save your hands in the long run. A whole lot of doctor's appointments.
Oh yeah.
And I know that I'm talking to older people now, but you'd be amazed at the younger gardeners that had the same issues I did because they had been weeding too much.
Yeah.
Same hand problems. So the right tools for the right things. And if you have them right there in your bucket, right next to you, it's a big, big deal. When you don't get to everything all in one day, you're to turn around and look at what you did do and give yourself a big, big pat on the back.
Yes, that is excellent life advice. Yes.
Also, you know, make a list of the things that you see. Mm. It's really important because you forget, like, oh yeah, I was going to do that last week.
Yes.
Make the list and cross them off. And if you find that you're having to make the list like dandelion deheading or weed deheading or whatever you want to call it, and it wasn't on your list, make it and cross it off.
Yes. Oh, I love crossing things off lists.
I
love it so much. Oh my gosh. Now, I read this amazing hack for when you have weeds growing in your luscious, beautiful, heavily nourished
planted
garden.
Yes.
So you have these weeds growing because, of course, the ironic thing is, you know,
they love the food.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They like the food, too.
Which I think is also, sidebar, such great life advice.
Yes.
When you are like nourishing yourself or like nourishing your mind, growing this fertile mind or space or area, everything is going to root well, including the bad, you know? So you have to be extra discerning of like what you allow in.
Yes.
So when those weeds come in and they take the nutrients that are meant for your carrots and your peas and your roses and everything else, you can take them out and put them in your weeding bucket and fill the bucket with water and let it sit while you're, you know, weeding and weeding and doing other things. And after an hour or two, you throw the weeds into the compost and you water your plants with the water that your weeds were sitting in.
Yes.
And you take the nutrients back. You get to reclaim it. How cool is that, right?
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Make sure that you have no seeds in there.
Yes.
And you can strain it. You can strain it through strainers. A lot of good gardeners have in their potting area a lot of cooking tools, like a strainer.
Yeah.
A screwdriver. You know, it's not a cooking tool, but I have a lot of things. I have a big old roasting pan that I gather seeds in.
Mm-hmm.
Not weed seeds, but flower seeds.
Yeah.
You know, that I'll lay the flower heads in there when they've seeded in this big old roasting thing so that I don't have to, or you can use a paper bag, although I oftentimes the best seeds are under the damn flap that you can't get to sometimes. So I use this roasting pan.
Huh.
And I know it won't collapse on me. And I know if it gets wet, it won't, you know, the pot itself won't worry like a paper bag would. And then when you're tired at the end of the day and you've had your dinner and it's all over with, you go to your list and in when you're sitting down and you're comfy, then you do things that you needed to have done, like look up a problem plant and what to do about it.
Yeah.
Make tags for plant for seeds. I oftentimes, you know, I would never plant a vegetable without reading about what the companion plant was. I wouldn't plant anything my first year without reading what goes with it. And did I have that? And make a note to buy it if I could afford it, or buy the seeds to start it if I could afford it, and create a knowledgeable base there of things that I knew were going to get along well.
Mm.
But a lot of that reading I did at night as well.
Yes. Yes.
I cannot stress enough, even in this fancy garden in England, the guy that ran it, that started, that knew all of his plant names in Latin by the time he was three, he would make notes. His name was Christopher Lloyd. Christopher would make notes every day of his life in the garden. He would go along in the garden and make notes for his gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
Move this, do this. And once you've got the garden in, they said gardening is a lot of editing.
Yes.
So he's telling them what to edit out, what to move here, what to move there, just to kind of shift things around a bit. So for the older gardeners that are not just starting out right now, make notes about the things that you want to switch around while you're looking at them. Take a pen and pencil out there and do it. Mm. Not a pen because it won't write upside down. And trust me, you're going to be bending over and looking at stuff. So take a good pencil.
Yes. Yeah, pencils. Pencils for gardeners.
Pencils.
And I think that's pencils. So important. Yeah, it's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. And it's an emotional thing. You know, you're grounding, you're writing, you have to study up on it.
And also you have to think about if you don't like something, if it's not happy in that place, where would it be happy?
Yeah.
What have you got there that you need to dig up to make this plant happy?
Yes.
So it's kind of musical chairs at all the times. And it's done, not only do you have to factor in sun and shade, but you have to factor in watering of its neighbors as well as it.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of pH, you know, what kind of acidity or sweetness in the soil is there. You can't plant dahlias in rhododendron patch.
Huh. Okay.
They won't like it. They won't like it. So you have to be careful of that. Also at night, it's really important to label your spray bottles.
Oh,
first of all,
yes.
I want to talk about spray bottles for a second, because I have one now full of neem to spray those geraniums that have whitefly. Mm-hmm. And I put the geraniums in a box, a great big moving box, so that, I mean, it's like a 2x2x2, beautiful, huge box.
Nice.
And I put the geraniums in there and I got all the dead leaves off and there's white flies going all over and I'm starting to spray and I'm spraying and I'm spraying and I'm spraying. And then I realized that my spray thing won't work upside down.
Ah.
I need a sprayer that will work upside down.
Yeah,
because to get most of the effectiveness of the whitefly, you've got to go under the leaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
So here I am. I've got the neem in my spray can and stuff. And so I'm having to bend down and grunt and do all this stuff and get my hands in there and everything. Wear gloves, by the way, when you spray. And just look at it, but always label your sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know which ones you've put a killer into. And yep. which ones you've put a horticultural oil into.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they've been in there for a year and the pencil writing is worn off, I mean, really label it. Magic marker, yeah. label them.
Oh, yeah.
So that you know what's been in there. And you know that you can't put this nice, you know, water and soap spray in something you've had Roundup in. You just can't do it.
Oh my gosh. I know. And I think we've all had that horrible moment of like switching bottles out or something, and you co-op a Windex bottle or something worse, a Clorox bottle, and you turn it into something else. And then you forget. Oh, what a nightmare. Oh my gosh. Day ruiner.
Find a way to label your spray cans.
Yeah.
Find a way. And then make sure that they're grouped in like places, like all the killers in one place. It can be herbicides and insecticides all in one shelf. The killers, the feeders, the neem oil and the, you know, that's kind of a killer, but it's not a real killer. Well, it is in a way, because neem oil will kill bugs. It's true.
But so like, that you... Yeah, it won't kill plants.
It won't kill the plant. No, that's an herbicide.
Yeah.
And so that you've got them organized so that if your sprayer's too heavy or too big for your bucket, and all of a sudden here you come across, I've got a rose that's dying all of a sudden. I don't know what's wrong with it. So yeah, I've got this big, big, beautiful Abram Darby climbing rose an arch that I looked at yesterday, and every leaf is almost black with black spot. And I'm my God.
Oh no.
And she's been a beautiful rose. So I'm going to have to go out there and whack her down. And I'm going to whack her down with my pruners and my lopers, depending on how big the thing is. And keep wiping it off with Clorox every time I whack.
Yeah,
and then get all the leaves and put them in the trash because they're fungused. They're fungicide with black spot. Black spot's bad fungus. And I'll feed her and wait and see.
Yep. Oh, darn. I'm so sorry. That stinks.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But if you've got a bucket full of tools and not the spray... Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice that you know right where it is in on what shelf, so that if your husband comes by and says, "Hi, honey, here's a glass of iced tea. Do you need anything?" You can say, "Yes, go to the killer shelf."
Yeah, yeah,
and get this spray.
Mm-hmm. So he has no excuse either.
He has no excuse either, and he can find it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have all your sprays, and please invest in sprays that spray upside down. Yes, it's more money, but if you take care of them and you mark them well, you will have them for several years, and it's so worth it.
Oh, it's so true. Yes, it's so frustrating when you get to that bottom or you're at an angle and it just won't spray. You have to spray the wrong way
yes.
to get it to to get back in the hose, yes, or whatever.
Tilt the, yeah. Or tilt the pot and then half the soil spills out. I hate that when that happens. I hate that when that happens. Anyway, also dark at night, if you haven't collapsed already, it's time to look up your mysteries. What is that plant? Did I really plant rue next to my cilantro? Is that why it's dying? That kind of thing. So that you can check that because you've written it down.
Yeah.
Or you've taken a picture of it and you can check it out on one of those sites. Those sites are amazing now. Boy, you know, I used to have to run back into the library and look stuff up in an encyclopedia of plants and try to guess what the heck it was.
Yes.
There are still weeds that I don't know. I don't know what the heck they are.
Oh my gosh. There's so many different plants.
I know. I'm going to
post. So many native plants that, you know, they don't have flowers or they're not particularly edible. Right. So no one knows. You know, we don't give them much time.
You don't give them. No, you don't. And the edible ones for you, the foraging is a big deal for you right now. I know it is.
I have loved it. I have loved it. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to even. I think you're going to love foraging in your own vegetable patch too, even though it's expected.
Oh,
it's going to be so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, the idea of growing them and then there they are. And the cucumbers are coming up. They're looking good.
Good. Good.
I bought some a habanero pepper. And another kind of pepper, and I planted my sweet peppers that I seeded from a sweet pepper that I ate. I am going to take such joy and satisfaction in having, you know, created that. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Did you plant eggplant?
I did not. No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
But you love eggplant. Okay,
so yeah,
okay, fair enough.
But the tomatoes are going in. Oh,
good.
You know what? So I have a patch of dirt that has been marked for the tomatoes, but it's not planted yet.
Okay.
And the cats have started using it as a litter box.
Uh-huh.
So how do I unlitter box the tomato garden?
Well, first of all, you treat it like a kitty litter box and you scoop it out.
Yeah. Yep.
Then I would put, some people use forks, plastic forks, so that the kitties can't get in there.
Oh.
Stick the forks in upside down.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's something bad about kitty poop and pee that isn't good for vegetables. Although I've had my kitties use my vegetable garden and I've never come across a bad vegetable. You know, I've never gotten sick from the earth.
Well, I was thinking, you know, there's one particular corner that they've preferred, at least when I've seen it. And they're doing it. It's like, you know what? There's nothing in
there
yet.
Let them have that.
Let them have it for now. I'll deal with it when I put the tomatoes in. I bought some 3 bags more of manure. So I think I'm going to take out some of the bad, throw it in the compost, let it sit for a year, turn everything, aerate everything, lay 3 more bags of compost on there. And I think that should probably do it.
If you put 3 bags of just manure in there, it'll burn the roots. You need soil.
Okay.
You need half and at least half and half. At least.
Okay.
I know there's such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
If you over fertilize your plants, you'll burn the roots.
Got it.
And also remember to plant your tomatoes deep.
Yes.
I would also, if I were you, I would get some chicken wire so that they can't jump in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm going to fence it off. So our groundhog and our cats can't get at them.
Good. That's a good thinking. You know, they told me in Master Gardening that you had to have an 8-foot fence
Whoa.
For the deer, because the deer will jump 7 feet. Or you can have a bent fence, a leaning fence, but it's 8 feet. But it's 8 feet from one side to the other that they can't leap over it.
Ah.
And that's what I would do with a chicken wire. I would bend it.
Mm-hmm.
So that your basil can grow up through it.
Yeah.
You know, but the cat can't seem to get into the dirt.
Right. Right.
And it goes hard up against the tomato plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's just too inconvenient for them.
Yeah, because they might jump 3 feet up and over.
Yeah.
But bending it would be harder for them to find a safe place to land if they're going to land on something. Mm-hmm. And for the time being, while the tomatoes are small, I would make sure there were a ton of things in there that would be very uncomfortable to land on.
Yes. Yeah. That is doable. We can do that. Yeah.
Good. Good. There was one other thing. Oh, if you don't have a wheelbarrow, get one.
Yes.
Even though you've got a strong husband, it's really hard carrying. I mean, steer manure is about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Yep. They're 30 to 40 pounds. And when you're carrying 6 to 10 bags of it over and over and over again, that's really hard. Get a good wheelbarrow. It will save you time and money in the long run. You can also make more than one trip. You don't have to make more than one trip sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
You load up your plants, you load up your manure underneath it, and you're off.
We just invested in a wheelbarrow.
Good.
And so worth it. So worth
good.
It. Good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's so many things that you need when you move into a house, but a wheelbarrow definitely is an unavoidable one if you're going to be a gardener.
It's true. It's very, very true. I didn't have a shovel when I first bought my first six pack of peppers. I dreamt about these beautiful peppers in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And they were on sale at Walmart, and I bought them for 89 cents for the six pack. I was so dreaming of saving $4 and $5 on these beautiful red peppers that you buy in the store for $4 and $5 a piece.
Yep. Yep.
And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to save so much money this summer. And I got home and I realized I didn't own a shovel. So I got my biggest spoon, which happened to be silver, sterling silver, and went out there and dug a hole about the size of a softball with this sterling silver thing. and my plants grew, but the peppers never turned red because we're in zone one. Mm-hmm. They were little green golf ball sized peppers.
Oh.
It didn't matter though, because I'd gotten hooked on gardening. It worked. It totally worked. Something interesting I found out the other day was that when America was building the railroads, and they were using all this Chinese labor, manual labor, to move earth. They did a study on what a man could sustained, load after load after load, shovelful after shovelful after shovelful, and it was 14 pounds.
Oh,
that's how much he could do. And so when you pick up a shovel, you figure out how much you could use that. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. For women, there are lady shovels that are smaller headed, but I can do a half an hour of that. Whereas with a man shovel, I can do three times.
That is such an important point, because I think we so often forget that the tools that we're given 9 times out of 10 are designed for men by men. They're tested on man hands or man heads.
Yes.
And, you know, like masks, N95 masks. When I put one on, half of it sticks down under my chin. And if I were to put it, you know, so that it fit snugly under my chin, it would come up past my eyebrows.
Oh, my God. Well, you're a tiny little thing.
Well, yeah. It's not designed for a woman's face.
For women. No.
It's designed for a man face. You know, yes. Same thing with gloves, shovels.
Yes.
Screwdrivers, weeders, probably. You know, even though gardening is a woman's tech, typically more women
gardeners. Yes,
garden,
typically there are more women gardeners. Yes.
I would bet, and I know nothing, but I would bet that they are tested and made and measured for by men and for men.
I would bet you're right. Although I love my little lady shovels. I love them.
Yeah.
And a shovel, I went to a place near here in Oregon called Red Pig Tools. Red Pig Tools. They're an amazing thing. It's one guy making these tools. Mm-hmm. And they're online. They're the best tools I've ever had.
Oh.
And he'll make you whatever you want.
Oh my gosh.
He also has amazing tools, and if it breaks, you send it back to him and he'll fix it for you.
Wow.
It's an amazing, amazing place, Red Pig Tools. I can't recommend it enough. It's in Boring, Oregon. I know. Who wants to live in Boring, Oregon? But there it is.
It was always such the joke. How did that ever happen? Boring, Oregon.
I think there's a reason, and I can't tell you what it is right this minute. Anyway, so there's a lot of times when you go along in the garden centers and you pick up tools to play with them, and they're all too damn big or too heavy and stuff. And then you go to the smaller versions, and they're all wimpy.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
They'll all bend with one turn of clay.
Yeah.
So.
Or
check out.
If they're like specifically designed for women, sometimes they're three times as expensive because they're pink.
Yes.
You know, there's the pink tax. Or they're wimpy. They're not made for actual hard labor, which we do.
So check out that and don't settle.
Yeah.
Don't settle. Go to your garden center. If you can't find something that fits your hands, ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them if they will order something for you. Is there something for smaller hands? Do they know where it can be? Or look it up online.
Yeah.
Do not settle for having to wield something that will make your hands hurt and sore and your arms hurt and hurt you.
Amen.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. Finally, because this is getting long, I wanted to give you one more piece of advice.
Okay.
I have learned through vast experience that when you weed... If you weed from the middle to the front or the middle to the back, that's after you've picked off the deadheads.
Yes.
After you've deadheaded the seed heads. Then you're not, how do I want to say this? If you weed from the front to the middle, instead of from the middle to the front, you find that... I don't know why that makes sense now, but I had a reason for it when I wrote it down.
Because you're putting your hands over what you've already weeded if you're going from front to middle. But if you're going from middle out, it takes more energy to be in the middle and less energy to be
the
front.
That's right. That's right. It does. And it's much easier to weed the front and near the back.
Yeah.
If that's your front, if you're, you know, around the back. So weed the middle. Weed the middle first.
Weed the middle first. Do the hard and stuff first.
Right.
Yeah.
And I called it one-handed weeding, where I would try really, really, really hard to, I would be kneeling, hands and feet. Mm-hmm. Knees and hands, and I would be kneeling, and I would be reaching way over.
Stretch.
to get one last weed that I could reach in that area before I'd have to move, and I would always rip it out without the root. So that's what I call one-handed weeding. You know, you really need to be kind of where you are on top of the weeds, so that you can just get in there and do a good job. With your weeder or your spade and your weeder.
Yeah.
I used to look out, this year we mulched a lot, but I used to look out and think, wow, my garden, about this time of year, wow, my garden is really full and lush and beautiful. And then I'd get out there and I'd start weeding. And I had a bare garden because it was all weeds. Yes, I was.
That's heartbreaking.
It was, but then I had to go buy stuff to fill it in. It was just terrible.
Plant thickly.
Yes, plant thickly. Listen, what are you going to have for dinner? Or you've already had it, right?
Homemade pizza. We did, well, homemade. You know, I bought the crust and we had a little live basil plant, you know, basil, but like the hydroponic basil that you buy in the store. And it's been sitting looking at me and I'm like, you know what? Today's the day. We're having margarita pizza. So
lovely.
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah.
How was it?
Came out good. Came out good.
Good.
Was for dinner with you.
Hunk got some shrimp at Costco yesterday. We're going to have a shrimp Louis salad.
That sounds delicious. What's in the salad? Yeah.
Well, our own lettuce. That's always nice. And our own asparagus. And then we're going to put some sugar snap peas in and some of our own onion. It'll be nice.
I'll be right over.
Okay, come on. Rainforest. Yeah, there's plenty.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches.
I'm glad you're better. You were sick last week, but this week you're better.
Yep, I survived.
You're going to have to take it easy.
Yep, yep.
And that's, I think, in the overwhelm, you run around like crazy, at least I did, and I didn't get a lot done. So when you plan, I was always so relieved that if I kept my head down and I stuck to my plan, at least I got that done.
Yeah.
And then the next day I would go screaming into the garden. Mm-hmm. And if I had a plan, I would do the plan and I would get that done. And I was always amazed. It was like, look at that. I got all that done. And always, always near the end of your day, even if half the garden is a disaster, look at what's blooming and what works.
Yes.
Always look at what works. It's so much more important.
Take time to enjoy your garden.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's what you're out there for. What works.
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy your space.
You work, my dear. You absolutely work. Every last bit of you.
You do too. Absolutely.
I do too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So listen, and everybody listening works. They all work.
Oh my gosh, they do. Yes.
They do. All right, sweetheart. I will talk to you anon again really soon.
I will talk to you later.
Any questions for before we go?
Not for now, but soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know. All right, sweetheart. We love you.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good one. Mwah. Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related. Our website at gardeningrelated.com and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like